Good morning. My name is Nicole, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the LGBT Interactive and Polls Sharing Increased Support for LGBT Issues conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. D. Pasquale to begin. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining the call today to discuss Center for American Progress Action Fund's new LGBT interactive and to talk about the new polls we're seeing, which show a significant increase in support for gay marriage and other LGBT issues across many different demographics. At this time, I would like to remind participants that this call is being recorded, and by remaining on the line, you consent to being recorded. The full audio will be available on the CAPAF website, and that's AmericanProgressAction.org, following the call. And if you have any other questions upon the conclusion of the call, you can email me at CDIPASQUALE at AmericanProgressAction.org or call 202-481-8181. On the call this morning, we have Jeff Grahealy, the director of the LGBT Research and Communications Project here at the Center for American Progress Action Fund, previously the research director of the Movement Advancement Project. We're also very pleased to have Bishop Gene Robinson on the call this afternoon. He is a senior fellow at CAPAF and has worked at the state, national, and international levels, speaking and lobbying for equal protection under the law and full civil marriage rights. His book, God Believes in Love, Straight Talk About Gay Marriage, will be published by Knopf in 2012. So today we will begin with Jeff Grahealy, if you'll begin.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining our call today. I hope you find that the interactive is useful to you as the presidential election season heats up. Today I first want to give an overview of what the interactive is, how it is organized, and where the leading candidates for the Republican nomination for president in 2012 stand on LGBT equality issues. After that, I'll offer my thoughts on why the Republican Party might be slowly realizing that gay rights issues are a losing battle for them to fight. Then I'll turn it over to my colleague, CAP Action visiting fellow Bishop Robinson, and he's going to provide his thoughts on marriage equality from a religious perspective. And I think it's pretty safe to say that his views will likely contrast quite strongly with the supposedly faith-based marriage opinions you'll hear in Iowa this week, when Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour, former U.S. House Speaker Newt Gingrich, and Minnesota United States Representative Michelle Bachmann speak at the pastor's policy briefing in Des Moines tomorrow and Friday. But first, the interactive itself. The interactive that we created and posted today allows users to quickly find out what the likely Republican presidential candidates have said about a range of LGBT policy issues, including marriage, workplace protections, and adoption. In an attempt to give users a snapshot of where the candidates stand, we have searched for and posted a quote or two for each candidate for most of these different issue areas. We also provide two PDFs that catalog a longer list of comments and quotes. One is organized by candidate and the other by specific issue areas. The PDFs are at the top of the interactive page. And we're going to be updating both the interactive and the PDFs as the campaign season kicks into high gear and the candidates attend even more events like the one in Iowa this week. We really love these events because they likely generate lots of great content for this interactive and other purposes. My colleagues at our Think Progress blog will be visiting many of these events to get one-on-one interviews with the candidates. Once you have a chance to use interactive, you'll see that the leading contenders for the nomination, Republican nomination for president, are almost universally against LGBT equality, whether we're talking marriage, adoption, foster care, or workplace non-discrimination policies. Even Don't Ask, Don't Tell remains an issue for some. Earlier this year, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty said he'd support not funding the costs related to the implementation of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even though that law was repealed last year by bipartisan votes in Congress. It was a change that voters wanted, and it was a policy change championed by Defense Secretary Robert Gates and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Admiral Mike Mullen. We also find that some of the candidates, Congresswoman Bachmann and former Governor Huckabee come to mind, say downright hateful things about gay people in general as they attempt to defend and frame their opinions on LGBT policy issues. Bachmann, for example, has said, quote, "If you're involved in the gay and lesbian lifestyle, it's bondage. It is personal bondage, personal despair, and personal enslavement," unquote. And Huckabee is almost always completely inaccurate when discussing LGBT issues, and sometimes prefaces his policy thoughts by comparing gay people to drug addicts or people who engage in incestuous behavior. For Mike Huckabee and his understanding of LGBT people, time seems to have frozen in the 1950s. So in short, we created the Interactive because we think voters should know and remember these views as the campaign goes on. We're especially interested in documenting what these candidates say now during primary season while they're courting very conservative voters, and contrast that with whatever the eventual nominee says in the more centrist general election. For us, it's really about accountability and making sure people remember what was said. Admittedly, some of the Republican candidates are completely supportive of all LGBT issues. For example, Fred Karger, an openly gay man who's running, would score 100% on any LGBT organization's policy scorecard. But these supportive Republican candidates are the rare exception and not the rule among this crop of White House hopefuls. They are also not exactly household names, which many of the blatantly anti-LGBT candidates are. Other Republicans running, possibly running for the nomination, are trying to find neutral ground on these issues. Although he's not exactly a supporter or champion of LGBT equality, Indiana Governor Mitch Daniels wants to call a truce on the so-called social issues, at least for the time being, until the economic issues are resolved. Now, given where the American public is rapidly moving on LGBT equality issues, Governor Daniels is likely onto something. In 1996, when President Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act into law, the Pew Research Center found that two-thirds of the public oppose marriage equality. In the Washington Post ABC poll that was released last week, 53% of Americans now support marriage rights for gay couples. Just 7 years ago, this same survey found that only 32% supported marriage for gay couples. And last week's Post survey also shows that support for marriage is now growing rapidly in demographics that had been most opposed. And that suggests to me that there's a tipping point in winning public public support for marriage equality and that we've hit that point. For example, from 2005 until 2011, support for marriage equality among men increased 18 points, compared to 10 points among women, who have generally been more supportive. Together, independent and Republican voters have increased their support by 21 points, compared to 17 for Democrats. And white Catholics have increased their support by 23 points over 2005 to 2011. Even white evangelicals, which is one of the demographics most opposed to marriage equality, increased their support for marriage by 11 points. Now, on this faith-based note, I would like to turn it over to Bishop Robinson, who I think will have much more to add on LGBT equality and faith. Bishop Robinson?
Thank you, and welcome, everyone. It's great to be with you. We have been talking for quite a long time about the fact that religion and religious communities have been the biggest stumbling block to achieving full equal rights for the LGBT community. And I've always been quick to point out that that's even true for non-religious people, because the Judeo-Christian heritage in this country and our history with it has so filled the atmosphere with that thinking that even non-religious people find themselves talking about an abomination against God when they are talking about homosexual people. So the religious issue is just really important even for non-religious people. At the same time, we've been seeing anecdotally this move from opposition to tolerance and in many cases on to acceptance and even advocacy. And we even see that, I think, in President Obama's comments at the Don't Ask, Don't Tell press conference, in which he was asked about marriage and admitted, I think perhaps for the first time publicly, that he was evolving on this issue. And then it was soon thereafter that we heard that the Justice Department would not be defending the Defense of Marriage Act. So to my way of thinking, his statement about his own evolution around this issue was is a prelude to what I hope will be his movement to support of full marriage rights for gay and lesbian couples. I think the reason that that religion is also tied up in the achievement, particularly around the marriage debate, the achievement of equality, is that we've been very, very confused in this country about marriage and what part of it is civil and what part of it is religious, primarily due to the fact that we have deputized clergy of any denomination to serve as agents of the state in performing the civil function of marriage, so that when someone goes to a wedding, they don't know really where the civil part begins and ends and where the religious part begins and ends. And I think the key to the findings that this poll points to, that is to say the really significant increase in the religious community for marriage equality, is due to the fact that we've begun to tease those two parts of this issue apart, that is to say the civil and the religious. In my own state of New Hampshire, this played a big role in our achieving marriage equality when we were able to convince even those who were not at all comfortable with the idea of gay marriage that their own religious denomination and their own religious community would never have to approve or perform those civil functions of marrying two people of the same gender. And in fact, that we could separate those two things. We made the argument, for instance, that, you know, when a marriage comes apart and ends in divorce, the couple doesn't go back to the little church where they were married to secure that divorce. They go to the courts. And this seemed to make a lot of sense to people. And we wrote right into our Marriage Equality Act a restatement of what was already true, which is that no religious community would ever have to authorize or approve of such a function. And that seemed to win the day. 2 years later, we're now in our second year of full marriage equality. As a result of the elections last fall, we have an enormous Republican majority in both the House and Senate. And we had heard that there would be efforts to repeal the gay marriage equality law. And what we have seen is that they have set this aside at least for another year. And I think it's an indication that the Republicans, even in a conservative state like New Hampshire, understand that this is beginning not to be a winning issue for them. And because we have had civil unions for 2 years prior to full marriage equality, and now about a year and a half of equal marriage rights, you know, people look around and see that nothing much has changed. And in testimony before the Judiciary Committee, I said, do you remember all of those draconian things that were going to happen when we gave same-gender couples these rights? Remember the end of civilization as we know it that was predicted? Anybody seen that happen? And you could see even these crusty old Republicans sitting around nodding their heads like, yeah, really, nothing much has changed. And so we see this really vast majority of Republicans in our legislature setting it aside at least for another year, and time will tell whether it even comes back up or has any kind of support. Because I think they see this beginning to be a losing issue. So I think that those who continue to oppose marriage equality will look increasingly extreme and marginalized as voters begin to look at this issue differently. So I think what we have suspected all along, anecdotally, that we're really making some progress in teasing apart this civil and religious functioning is now shown to be the case in this ABC News and Washington Post poll, that indeed we're making enormous progress in what I would consider to be the most troublesome group, which is the religious community among voters here in America. So I'm feeling very upbeat about this, and I think this new poll points to, factually and research-wise, what we have suspected being true all along. And I think this comes as great and welcome news for the LGBT community. So I think I'll end there and see if anyone has any questions.
Great. Thank you so much, Bishop Robinson and Jeff. Before we open the line for questions, I'd just like to remind press that the full audio of this call will be available on our website at AmericanProgressAction.org. And you can always give me a call at 202-481-8181 if you have any questions. Operator, could you open the line for questions now, please?
As a reminder, to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, to ask a question, press star 1. The first question is from Chris Johnson of the Washington Blade.
Hi there. I'm just wondering if you could, Jeff, if you could tell me what your expectations are for whether the issue of marriage is going to play out early on during the Republican primary in states where same-sex marriage is legal, in Iowa and New Hampshire. As the caucus and the primary takes place there, if we're going to hear a lot more about the Republican positions on marriage in those states, and also if people in these states, if they would be in danger of losing their marriage rights as a result of this potentially higher scrutiny on marriage as the primary season begins.
Thanks, Chris. I think it's absolutely going to be playing out. You see in Iowa, for example, Newt Gingrich, it was found out, helped fund the campaign to oust the 3 judges who were involved in the judicial ruling that gave gay couples marriage rights. You see it time and again coming up at these different candidate forums when they're out there speaking. So I think it's clearly part of the dialogue that's out there, especially since, as you know, in the primary season, they really have to play to the right for, you know, potential votes down the road and getting financial backing. So I think that, you know, this is clearly an issue for, you know, increasingly a smaller percentage of the population, but one that's still valuable in these early contests. And then to your second point, you know, I think right now, based on where things stand with the courts in Iowa, the Senate there, and also with the assembly in New Hampshire, I think right now the marriage rights in those states are in a good place to kind of get through without being attacked further. At the same time, you know, with this heightened scrutiny, I think advocates for equal rights have to be on guard the entire time that the primary is going, because this is alive. It's still being covered, and we really have to be on guard to protect against it and hold our ground for where we are right now.
In New Hampshire, too, is that the case?
Yeah, I would add to that by saying we're clearly nervous and aware of the fact that our primary, which will come early in the year, is coincides with the new session of our state legislature. And so we're going to watch very carefully how this plays out in the primary, because we are very highly politically charged at that time. People are really paying attention, and it'll be very interesting to see how this plays, whether any of the Republican candidates will break ranks and be a little more accepting. But we're working all this year to be ready for that. We are assuming that there will be a fight to repeal the marriage equality law in New Hampshire. I am personally fairly confident that we can pick off enough of the Republicans in the legislature at least to forestall a governor's veto. There is a veto-proof majority in both the House and the Senate. Clearly, the governor will veto a repeal if it comes through, but I'm fairly confident that we will be able to get enough Republicans with us to forestall a veto override.
Again, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. The next question is from James Russell of Truth Out.
Hi, thanks for arranging this call. I'm interested in 2 things. This is mostly for Bishop Robinson. How, in the Public Religion Research Institute poll, was it marriage, full federal marriage equality and the repeal of DOMA, or was it more on a state-by-state basis? Do you know that?
I don't know the answer to that. Jeff, do you know?
Could you say that one more time?
Yeah, I'm interested in, with the people who were polled by the Public Religion Research Institute, if they were responding more that they would support it in their state, or they were wanting it across all the 50 states. You know, it's, you know, the old states' rights versus federal right, federal intervention, or whatever you want to say, question.
I'm not entirely sure. The poll that we've been looking at the most closely is the Washington Post poll. And that one was kind of a general, how do you feel about this issue? They really didn't get at the specific nuances of state versus federal. At the same time, I know that there has been other polling done, for example, whether or not people supported the Justice Department's decision not to defend DOMA any longer around Section 3. And there's definitely a majority of people who are supporting that action. So I think that we're kind of in, you know, kind of like the low to mid 50s on any of these different actions. Okay. I that's my kind of gut sense of where the country is on these issues.
Okay. And my next question is what was the change in, let me back up, in both of the polls it seemed to indicate more a discussion among Caucasians. What were the changes among people of color? Do we know that?
From the survey, the one I looked at, the sample size was too small to parse out things based on race, so that's why we only have numbers on the white demographic.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
The next question is from Chuck Colbert of Windy City Times.
I have a couple questions. What do you think accounts for the shift, particularly you, Bishop Robinson, among Catholics and other groups towards a pro-marriage stance? And I also, along with that question, yesterday I was on a conference call with the Public Religion Research Institute. I think I have that right. And one of the findings in their poll, for their study, was that there seems to be a big attraction among Catholics for civil unions. And if you count civil unions, then the view for marriage is stronger. If you don't, it's reversed. I just wondered what you thought was at play in the shifts among the religious communities that we see. And this trend seems to be a long-standing one, you know, back. The trending is always going our way, and I wondered how you thought that helped marriage equality advocates, and how it also, if there's anything in these surveys that would give comfort to people like the National Organization for Marriage.
Well, I hope not. my sense is that even the religious denominations, like the Roman Catholics, like the Southern Baptists, who are absolutely clear about their party line stance on this, even amongst those groups, this is a hot topic. And the reason it's a hot topic is that, like all other demographics, there are countless numbers of gay and lesbian, bisexual, and transgender kids coming out to their parents who happen to be Catholics or Southern Baptists. And so you have this increasing number of parents who are caught between loving their child and obeying what the church is telling them to do. And at least for American Catholics, there's a pretty long tradition of understanding what the official teaching is and then doing otherwise, whether it be around birth control or abortion or whatever. And so I think that we can't underestimate the power of the numbers of people coming out to their parents and then the kind of chaos the family is thrown into when it seems to be forced to choose between loving their child and obeying their church. And in my experience, that almost always comes down on loving their child. The other thing that I would point to, particularly for Roman Catholics, and I especially experienced this
in the state of Maine as the law was effectively repealed by a vote, is that many Roman Catholics were simply horrified at the activist role their archdiocese or diocese played in that debate. You had some Catholics standing up in the middle of a service and turning their backs to the altar when the priest was doing as the bishop had instructed them to preach sermons, anti-gay sermons, and show anti-gay videos that had been produced by the diocese and so on. And many Catholics who had little or no skin in this game, that is to say, didn't have a gay kid or particularly know anyone who was LGBT, just found that inappropriate and even repulsive. So I think the numbers of people coming out in those communities, the number of parents and aunts and uncles and relatives who are now caught between what the church says and what they know to be true in their own lives, combined with the tactics used in some of these local campaigns, have really pushed these numbers more in the direction of acceptance. And I think that's a good thing, and I think we'll only see an increase in that.
I had just a follow-up. I wondered what you thought could be done better or we're not doing on the pro-marriage equality side to get away from this idea that people feel they need to defend the sanctity of marriage. I don't know of any other role the government has in defending the sanctity of anything, and I just wonder if we're not successful in disentangling civil marriage from religious marriage, what you thought could be better done on that. And that the reason I ask is that seems to be one of the reasons Catholics seem to like the civil unions option. It gives them a way to feel they're defending this idea they have that marriage is a sacrament.
Right. You know, in the best of all possible worlds, if we could just magically erase history, I wish we could have a civil union or a civil designation for all couples, gay or straight, and then let the church have the sacrament of marriage. That is clearly impossible. We can't go back and undo all of that. So I think we're going to have to attempt to do this separation in an educational way. I can tell you that what I've done in my diocese, and I'm hearing this now not just in the Episcopal Church, but in other denominations across the country, is I have encouraged my clergy to get out of the marrying business, to say that the state does marriage and the church blesses. And so, in fact, in my own wedding and in that of many in our diocese, a justice of the peace, either from the congregation or just from the community, actually affects the civil marriage. And then you come up the aisle and sing hymns and do what the church does, which is to bless that union and in the sacrament of marriage. And the great thing about that is not only is it the act in itself, but every person attending that wedding gets an education in what is the civil part of this and what is the religious part. The fact of the matter is, in most states, there are no guidelines for clergy or justices of the peace about any words that must be spoken in order to effect a marriage. As a matter of fact, no vows have to be taken, no promises made. What makes you married is the signature on the marriage license. And what we are finding is that people are kind of hungry for that kind of education, and I think if more and more clergy got out of the marrying business and did strictly what the church does, which is to bless relationships, then we would move this along at a much faster pace.
Thank you.
Again, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time.
Okay, thanks a lot, everyone, for being on the line. Please see our full audio on our website at the conclusion of this call, www.AmericanProgressAction.org. And if you have any other questions for our speakers, you can call me at 202-481-8181. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.